When you're having a tough day, when you're feeling under pressure, there's nothing quite like a warm expression of affirmation from a compassionate friend. Whether it's a well-timed compliment or a sensitive word of encouragement, those moments can alter the course of our day. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that kindness is not an option. For followers of Christ, it's a mandate. Scripture tells us in no uncertain terms to encourage one another. In his final message in the series called Wise Counsel for Troubled Times, Chuck presents a message called Encouraging Others.
Today we're considering the importance of encouraging others. And that passage we're going to be looking at is in Acts chapter 4, and there will be others in the book of Acts as well. You'll find in your worship folder an outline for the morning message, and if you will be thoughtful enough to pull that out and place it at the end of Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin there in a few moments as we work our way to the book of Acts for the example of a man whose name was not really Barnabas. That was a nickname. His name was Joseph, as we'll learn today from the last part of the fourth chapter of Acts. Beginning at verse 32, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message on encouraging others.
Did you realize that encouraging others is a command? Not just a suggestion, a nice idea. It's a command. We're all familiar with the Ten Commandments set forth in the Old Testament and underscored in so many ways again and again. Many people aren't aware that there are that many and far more in the New Testament with the same emphasis commanding us to do this. For example, in the 10th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, when you get toward the end, verse 23 through 25, you find four commands, in fact, in three brief verses. Look at verse 23 of Hebrews 10. The first command, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Hold on to that hope. That's a command. Verse 24, here's the second. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. A command. Let's do that. The third, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. So coming together for worship, coming together for prayer, coming together for instruction, that's the result of our obeying a command. We're not to forsake that. We're not to neglect our meeting. It's the fourth one that interests me today. Let us encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Encourage one another. It's an imperative. It's a command. Encourage one another. I like the words of one careful student of the New Testament who writes, "One of the highest of human duties is that of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at others' ideals, to pour cold water on their enthusiasm, to discourage them. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time, a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept another on his feet. Blessed is the one who speaks such a word." Think about that. Only a slight difference in the spelling and the pronunciation of the word that ends with the word courage. One is putting courage in, the other is draining another. It's called discouragement. And it can cut like a knife. I have a fellow pastor friend whom I've known since even before he went into ministry. I've followed his work with great interest. Not only has he become a very competent minister of the gospel, his particular book that he wrote reached national recognition. His name is, if you will, a household name around the world, and I applaud his success. To the shock of many of us who consider him a friend, we recently heard that one of his adult children took his life. Unexpectedly, and to the heartbreak of the family. As they began to heal, a number of folks wrote notes of encouragement, but not all. Not all. The man dealing with this heartbreak tweeted a message. He said, "Grief is hard. Grieving as public figures is harder. But grieving while haters celebrate your pain, the hardest. Your notes sustain us. You did not misunderstand me." There were those who were so cruel as to celebrate the heartbreaking tragedy that struck this family. Don't ever do that. Don't ever yield, no matter how great your disagreement is with another. Never seal that disagreement with cruel words from your lips or from your pen. How much better to be like Dr. William Mayo, one of the seven founders of Mayo Clinic. One of the young doctors who studied then under Dr. Mayo wrote this: "You would read a paper at a staff meeting, and afterwards he would see you in the elevator or the hall and would shake your hand or would put his hand on your shoulder with a quiet, "Good work," and a straight, warm look that made you know he meant it. Or perhaps a day or two later, you would get a note from him saying, "Dr. So-and-so, I learned more about that subject from that paper of yours the other night than I ever knew before. It was a good job." The man adds, "Believe me, I prized those notes." How great it is when an individual who is in a role of authority, if you will, takes time to speak to one words of encouragement, even if that person can never in any way do anything for the one making that statement. Remember this. No matter how high you may climb in life, no matter how great the promotion or important the title, it is always appropriate that you take time to encourage. Let's start with a definition. Obviously, when you look at the word, you have a definition right away. Putting courage into someone else. Webster defines it to inspire with hope, courage, or confidence. To hearten, to give support to stimulate. I love that definition. I love what it represents. By the grace of God, through my years, I have been the recipient, yes, of some pretty harsh, discouraging words, but I have to tell you, far more encouraging words from people who loved me and cared about me and affirmed me. I think of examples of people who encourage. How about you who teach? And you have students that are, especially those that are struggling to keep up. You can't imagine what your encouragement means. I stuttered so terribly out of junior high school, and we called it junior high school back then, and into my senior high school first year, that the last place I ever wanted to be was in front of a group of people. And we had at that high school in East Houston at Milby High School, a speech and drama teacher named Richard Niemi, N-I-E-M-I, Niemi. Dr. Niemi caught me in the hall one day and invited me to join his speech class. I thought he was talking to the guy at the locker next to me. You talking to me? Yeah. Yeah, he said, you got it. I thought, whatever it is, I don't want it. But he saw in me something I never saw in myself. How much do I owe Richard Niemi for encouraging me to learn how to speak? To this day, you may not know it, but every once in a while, there'll be one of those words that I want to stutter. And I remember he taught me. He said, be careful, because you see, your mind is running ahead of your mouth. You've got to get them in sync. I often have the opposite problem now, but when you learn to speak, you learn to let your mind guide your mouth if you want to overcome. I had a teacher. The rest of my life, I will give thanks for Richard Niemi, that he would pick me of all people to be in his speech class and in his drama group in theater. Coaches who encourage players that have fallen into a slump. I have a coaching friend who said to me, Chuck, what you must always remember about great coaches, you have to coach them up. Coach them up. Every once in a while, he'll write me an email. He'll end it with, coach them up. I love that expression. If you had a coach that coached you up, you loved the man or the woman who coached you up in your particular field of athletics. What a valuable role. Parents encouraging children as they grow up. I know, I understand. Don't start in. We all could write our own story about the things they did not do well. How about finding the things that you can encourage them in and doing it? They will love you forever for it, and they'll remember that forever. Parents with their children. How about spouses? Let me introduce something brand new to some of you, especially Texas men. It is wonderful to know that you are an encourager of your spouse. Don't answer out loud, please. When is the last time you expressed something to her, or if I may, to him, that had just sheer encouragement written all over it? Do you realize your words mean more than anyone else's? Do you know that? The encouragement of a spouse is always appropriate. Pastors who encourage their staff. I weary of hearing from staff members of churches who are still waiting for the first word of encouragement from their pastor. What in the world are we missing here? The only reason we have the church we have today is because we have the staff. We have the volunteers. We have the people who make it happen. I read somewhere in a fine book on leadership that the leader's job really is twofold. One, set the vision. Second, say thank you. Don't forget that. Many of us who lead are good at setting the vision. We come up short when it comes time to say thank you, thank you, and call their name and recognize them for the accomplishment. I just have to tell you, sometime when you write a note of encouragement, you find out later they framed it. They framed it. It became for them a statement, a reason to go on. They were encouraged to go ahead. They were gaining confidence. I look in the scriptures and I find Jonathan, 1 Samuel chapters 18, 19, and 20. Jonathan's daddy, named Saul, who was the king, was so small-minded that he became jealous of David after David defeated Goliath, the giant. Did you know the story? And Saul turned on David, convinced that David wanted to dethrone him and to take over the king. David didn't want that. He simply wanted to serve Saul. But Saul, in his insane jealousy, became so enraged he even attempted to kill David more than once. Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul. They were closer than brothers. And Jonathan again and again would say to David, I'm with you. I'm with you. I know my dad is doing this. I want you to know I'm here for you. Our word today is I've got your back. I'm standing for you. I'll be here right alongside you. He even stood up against his father, and his father cursed him for doing that. Used a vile statement in the Hebrew as he called his son that insulting name because Jonathan stood up for his friend David. I also found an interesting verse that I would imagine many of you have not seen. Turn to Job chapter 4. I found this and asked Cynthia the other day as I was in the middle of my study, did you know the Bible says this about Job? And she didn't know either. And neither of us had ever been told this. We hear about Job and the circumstances he lived with, boils covering his head and his body from head to toe, and all the heartache of losing all of their children, and the losing of his farm and his crops and his all of his livestock, ultimately bankrupt and broken. One of the otherwise critics in his life, named Eliphaz, briefly mentions Job in his former life, before all of these things came down on him. Look at Job's life, Job 4, verse 3, reading from the New Living Translation. In the past, you have encouraged many people. Look at that. You have strengthened those who were weak. Verse 4, your words have supported those who were falling. You encouraged those with shaky knees. I love the way the New Living Translation renders that. Those who are tottering, those who are about to fall, you're there with an arm to help hold them up. Did you know that about Job? One of the reasons he was such a righteous man was because of his testimony being an encourager. We're around people with shaky knees. How important to encourage them, to lift them up, to coach them up, to tell them how grateful we are for this or for that, and to point out something they have done that is worth acknowledging. I hope you will never forget this message today. It will only take a few minutes for it to be delivered and for you to hear it. It'll take a lifetime for you to carry it out. But first, you'll have to break the bad habit of discouraging. I have never known anyone to become a better person after being discouraged. I know many who become my all and more than they ever thought they would be because they were encouraged, especially after a courageous act. Always encourage. You know a scene I will never forget? It happened in Watertown, Massachusetts, April 2013. Suspect number 2 had been captured, hiding in a boat. Those who had been searching had searched day and night, some of them passing up sleep, passing up meals, as they pursued one who left a bomb by that precious little child there at the marathon, the Boston Marathon. You remember. When they had captured the man, brought him into custody, they began to drive out. Remember? You remember seeing it on television? Remember what people were doing? They were clapping and clapping and cheering and screaming and yelling. Several were going thumbs up. They had their hands up. Somebody in the car would slap their hand as they went by. Now, these are all officers and law enforcement people. They're trying to look real serious, but down inside, they were loving it. You know why? They were hearing words of encouragement. They were witnessing. They were realizing that their work was not in vain or unappreciated. That is what I'm talking about. I want that picture to be in your mind for the next few minutes. And I want that concept to be in your life from here on. I hope as a result of hearing what you hear today, you will be better at encouraging others. The loudest cheerleader in the stands should be the parent of the child down there on the field. The most encouraging word that a person hears should come from someone who knows them best. Often they come from people who hardly know us.
Our topic today is encouraging others. It's the final message in the 13-part series from Chuck Swindoll called Wise Counsel for Troubled Times. To purchase the downloadable audio files or the entire collection of CDs, just go online to insightworld.org/store. If you're listening in the United States, you can also call us at 1-800-772-8888. This is one of the very last times we'll mention this popular series, so be sure to request a copy today. Now, we've saved a few minutes to hear a closing comment from Chuck. But first, let me remind you that Insight for Living faces a critical deadline every year at this time. June 30th is just around the corner when we close the books on another ministry year. We're calling on every listener to join us in this campaign to keep Insight for Living available on your station and around the world. Our goal is to make disciples and equip people like you to think biblically. Chuck, when believers think biblically, they tend to act biblically.
That's right, Dave. There's a lot at stake this month, and we know that when all of us band together, we can easily reach the June 30th goal. Our mission at Insight for Living Ministries is to make disciples, plain and simple. And that means we're equipping Christians here at home as well as around the world to think biblically, so that Christians are prepared to act biblically. We want the truth of God's Word to flow through the veins of every listener, like healthy red blood pumping life into the hearts of every follower of Christ. I love the way Charles Haddon Spurgeon once put it. With a twinkle in his eye, Spurgeon wrote this: "It is blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible until at last you come to talk in spiritual language, and your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord, so that your blood is biblean." I love that line, "so that your blood is biblean." By the way, what's your blood type, Chuck? Next time they draw a sample from my arm, I'm going to tell the nurse, "I'm biblean." By the way, what's yours? Here's the point. June 30th marks the end of our financial year. Our needs are enormous, no exaggeration. But really, it's not about money. It's about equipping clear-thinking Christians day in and day out. I'm calling you to be part of something phenomenal. God will use your gift to cultivate Biblean Christians by investing your charitable donation in Insight for Living Ministries. You're equipping others to think biblically so that they're prepared to act biblically. Take down this contact information and then please get back in touch with us today. Together, let's accomplish something phenomenal.
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll right now. You can give a donation online by going to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. As a gesture of our thanks, and as a means for digging deeper into the Proverbs on your own, we'd like to send you the practical and popular book called The Little Red Book of Wisdom. Tuck this into your briefcase and read it while you travel or take it on vacation with you. It's highly recommended by Chuck as a simple tool for learning to think biblically. Again, it's called The Little Red Book of Wisdom, and it comes with our thanks for your donation. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Online, go to insight.org. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues this message about encouraging others, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Encouraging Others, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.